Welcome to the podcast, The Blog Music Art Culture. I am your host, Dominique. I'm so excited to have this conversation today on Christmas Eve. But first, I want to remind you to search and subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on social media for updates, and you can send us an email as well. Send those emails over to info@musicartculture.org. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts. Enter in the search icon, the blog, Music Art Culture, and on social media for Twitter and Instagram. That's right, you can follow me, your host, Dominique LaRue, at DominiqueLaRuex. And on Twitter, the blog, Music Art Culture, is known as MACEF Public Arts, which is MACEFPUBLICARTS. Very long, I know, but we are easy to find and follow, I promise you. I love hosting this podcast every week. We've had some very interesting guest stories and had lots of fun. So feel free to go back and check out previous episodes as well. We've talked to Brandon Alexander out in Queens, New York, who is head publisher of Boardhouse Publishing. They've got some interesting work coming out of there. We've also talked to Destiny Rogers, a dance choreographer and finalist with So You Think You Can Dance. Check out her story. You can find them on social media as well. We've had Huda Skuda, a local producer out of Long Beach who recently made his way over to Atlanta. So I'm going to be sure to reach out to him and stay in the loop with what he's doing to share it with all of you. But he is definitely someone on the rise, a new talent to look out for. We have also had Ontario, a wonderful scholar who is actually in the PhD program exploring African-American narratives in music. Very interesting work there. It's going to be a lot of fun to dive deeper into that with him. And we have also had, oh my gosh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman. Her name escapes me right now. OMG, 1, 2, 3. Oh, but her story was wonderful as well. And you can find her on our social media page on Twitter. We actually shared most of the episode over social media as well as in the podcast, so there's actually no way that you can miss it, but you can always go back and catch it through our Twitter feed, and you can see previous episodes as well where we talk about career and entrepreneurship development. Yes, great conversations. This year has been amazing watching the steady continuous growth of the show, and it is so exciting. Thank you very much for listening. This is going to be an amazing time. Not just for me, not just for you, but for all of us, right? We're heading into the end of the year, but a few more details that I'd love to share because it's the holiday season. I love Apple Music for commercial-free music. That's right, I do have an Apple Music subscription, and I'm always discovering new artists, and it creates playlists for me that I might like as well, but I also create my own playlists, and I have Apple products, so it makes a lot of sense for me. So I recommend Apple Music. I also share my playlist, so if you want to hear, you can also search Music Art Culture in the music app if you have Apple Music. Just go in there, hit Music Art Culture for the search, and you will see MACEF come up, and you'll see the public playlist that I have available for you to listen to. My favorite holiday song is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. Oh, I couldn't resist. I had to post that up on the social media, and definitely, I made a Christmas playlist as well. So I haven't shared that, but I think I will today, being that it's Christmas Eve. We have to go into the holiday ready to hear all of our favorite songs, and I definitely have something for everyone. So stay tuned for that. Greetings of holiday cheer. Yes, 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 yes. Everyone has been busy this season, but if you haven't heard it already, I'm sending love and gratitude to you. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. There's lots of people who celebrate Christmas, not just for the gifts, but to also celebrate the birth of Christ being the ultimate gift to the world as a symbol of God's love. So every year I look forward to the lights, decorations, foods, and family gatherings, but also I look for ways to actively share my faith through acts of kindness and spiritual development. And I encourage you all to do the same, right? Find ways to connect. So today we're going to talk about three ways to practice gratitude, why the best gifts don't have the biggest price tags, the number one reason coworkers should always participate in secret Santa gift exchanges, and exploring the concept of new year, new you, with the importance of setting goals in mind. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned, because we were very excited to jump into this today, and that's exactly what we're going to do when we come back from the break. All right, so what we're going to talk about first are the three ways to practice gratitude. Now, always remember to say thank you. Create an opportunity to show your appreciation by verbally acknowledging how someone else has had a positive influence in your life, or you can take time to celebrate that person by doing something nice for them. And we have finding ways to include the individual in activities they may enjoy. You can also do this by displaying acts of kindness, like sending regular greetings, such as emails and seasonal cards, to share moments with others. This is really important because it's self-explanatory to assume that someone will say thank you, but in a busy world that is ever so hectic, and we are constantly distracted by everything else that is pulling our attention away from interacting with one another, we do have to have these courteous reminders. When someone does do something thoughtful for you that is unexpected, or maybe you were expecting them to do something, it's always a great gesture to show your appreciation by verbally acknowledging the gift with a simple thank you. You can always take it a step further when it comes to showing your appreciation verbally. Yes, the thank you does do that, but you can also take it as an opportunity to brag on someone for something that they've done. You can keep it in the forefront of their mind by always letting them know, hey, you know what? I really love that sweater. It goes great with my items already in my closet. I find excuses to wear it all the time. It's become one of my favorite pieces. Or you can always show them, if it's a coworker, that you're constantly using the coffee mug that they got you for the holiday gift exchange. It's just a great way to connect with the individual who is the gift giver, showing them that you always have them in mind and that you really appreciate the gesture or the gift. Another way to do this is also a little self-explanatory, but we'll give a few more examples, including the gift giver in activities. Maybe you're doing something, it could be a holiday, it could be a birthday, it could be a non-related gathering, or you want to create an opportunity to go out of your way to connect with your gift giver. It's a great way to spark up conversation, invite them for coffee or lunch, maybe a dinner outing, to make sure that they know that you are really impressed with their efforts and you are doing a few of your own. And another way that you can also really bring this home is, maybe they're not interested in whatever it is you're interested in. That's okay. That's pretty normal, actually. Everybody doesn't like the same things. Maybe they're not a gamer. Maybe they're not into shopping, or they're just not into activities like bowling, skating, things like that. But you can always send a pleasant email message. You can also send a seasonal greeting card just to share those moments. And emails are actually a great way to connect because, well, you're always on your phone. You're always in front of your computer. So if you find a corny joke, a great opportunity to share. If you find out about a new restaurant, you could always send them a note and strike up conversation. And it's a way to connect outside of the gift, but to let that person know that you're appreciative of their efforts. And guess what? Paving it forward always wins in the long run. So Remember, three ways to practice gratitude. Say your thank you, look for opportunities to verbally acknowledge what that person has done, invite them out, and or always connect through written notes. This segment is one of my favorites because it is something that is highly debatable, but I find it to be universally true. So, what is it? Well, we're going to talk about it right now. Why the best gifts don't have the biggest price tags. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking right now, listener, as I just said the topic? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Well, I'll tell you what I think. People have different needs and like different things, so you should never assume you know what a person wants, and depending on the relationship, an expensive gift could be inappropriate and on some levels offensive. So, at the end of the day, at least for me, the best gift is the gift you can afford to give. Now, some people would consider this self-explanatory, however, there are some that, well, do the opposite of at least the last point that I've made, which is the best gift is the gift you can afford. But let's just stay in order with it. So people do have different needs and different likes. This is obvious, but I have myself been guilty of assuming that people like what I like. And it definitely can become very surprising once you give a gift and you find out that the person didn't really like it. So one of the things that I recommend, because you still have time in your gift-giving seasons, being that even though it's Christmas Eve, you have time to do your exchange, maybe throwing a gift certificate or a gift receipt so they can exchange it, or better yet, do future planning, not just for next year's Christmas, but also for birthdays, Easters, and whatever else you might have planned, including next year's Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Think ahead. So, people have different needs. How do you figure out what they like? Well, take hint. Pay attention to the little things, like what restaurants they like to go to, what type of fragrances they like to wear. If they like lavender, softer things like cotton, linen, fresh rain, or nature smells, those are great hints. And you can also drop a few obvious ones of your own, like asking the hard questions that people don't like to ask, such as, what do you like? It doesn't always have to be something as, say, clothing, because people have different tastes, and for some that might be a little too personal. But when it comes to things that are universal, like cookware and coffee mugs, things like that, it becomes a lot more simpler. Some people actually are really big on stationery. So that's something to consider. If you know someone who likes cards, well, maybe you can get them a gift certificate to Home Depot, or not for Home Depot, excuse me. Those are people who like to build things and home remodeling, but Office Depot. You can give them a gift certificate to Office Depot so that way they can customize their own stationery, or they do have stationery that you can purchase in bulk so that way they can personalize their own greeting messages. So you really have to think outside the box when it comes to gift giving and try and personalize your gifts as much as you can. You always run the risk of getting it wrong, but at least have a strong effort in putting your best foot forward and trying to get it right. So you want to figure out what that person likes, and hopefully they will appreciate your efforts because you've done your homework and it translates over into the actual gift. So that's point one. Now, of course, we did dabble a little bit into point two, which is never assume what a person wants. That way it takes the pressure off of you having the expectation that they're actually going to like it, and you don't want to waste money getting the wrong gift. Yes, we have to think about those things in advance. Point three, depending on the relationship, we definitely don't want to go out of the box and be too forward with our gift giving. Let's say if it's something for the office or maybe a distant cousin, you always want to make sure that you're giving something that's appropriate. If you've never been invited to someone's house, you definitely don't want to purchase them a recliner. Okay, that's an example of an inappropriate gift. Or if it's too expensive, maybe the other individual who was receiving the gift was not prepared for such an extravagant gesture and only got you a gift card. So you definitely don't want to make people feel uncomfortable with your level of gift giving. You do want to share in the excitement of the holiday, but you also want to be respectful of people's personal boundaries, and you don't want them to feel insecure or insignificant based on the type of gift that you present them. It should be something that reflects how you feel about them and something that they can also appreciate. So think of it as a language, and you have to have a conversation, and that's what the gift is. The gift is a clear understanding, a conversation, if you would, on how you choose to acknowledge a person and thus showing your appreciation in the form of the gesture. Now, the best gift is the gift you can afford to give. I stress this so much because so many people around the year, okay, yeah, there are plenty of holidays, and we are a multicultural nation. We are filled with different cultures, and there's just 365 days out of the year, there's always a holiday to celebrate. But a good rule of thumb is you always want to give a gift that translates well to the person receiving it, and it also translates well to your bank account. You should not go broke giving gifts. That is not a good sign of a gift. A gift is something that you can afford to give and has value not only to the person receiving it, but also to you. Now, if you are clearing out your bank account to give gifts, then it holds no value for you. Why? Because if you have other obligations, it's just always a good idea to keep something saved. That is a good rule of thumb. You always want to keep something saved. And if you feel as though your gift is a necessity, there are ways to save year-round, so that way you are gradually putting something away to pay for whatever that item is to be presented at a later time. But definitely things do happen unexpectedly, so it does matter that you have something saved, significantly saved, for a rainy day. And those that you love and hold dear to your heart will definitely understand that if you follow the other steps when it comes to gift giving, then, well, the gift that you choose to give will be the perfect gift for them. So keep that in mind. Why? Because the best gifts don't always have the biggest price tags, okay? Moving on, I hope you enjoy that. Make a note of that and put it to use. The number one reason coworkers should always participate in Secret Santa gift exchanges. Oh, the controversy. There are so many employers who try and stay away from the Secret Santa because, well, everyone doesn't celebrate Christmas. There are some employers who incorporate Hanukkah and Christmas due to, if you know your history, Christmas is attached to Christ, which is also attached to Christianity, being that Jesus, who is believed to be the Messiah, also known as the Christ, was a Jew. There you have the Hanukkah and the celebration of the culture in Judaism, and they are deeply rooted and connected. And so it is actually very logical and understandable that they make sense to combine, and it actually works out great when you do the gift exchanges. But there are also some who grew up believing in Santa Claus. If there are any adults out there who still believe in jolly old Saint Nick, well, I don't want to break the bad news. So we'll just keep it going with the idea of Secret Santa. Now, this is really important because it's a great way to keep the peace and show your ability to be available, building a personal relationship outside of workplace obligations. There is a lot of stress that happens on a day-to-day basis. People come into the office, we have our personal problems, we have our work issues, and there are only so many opportunities that we have in the work environment to share with one another who we are outside of our work obligations. And part of that, outside of the daily routine of getting coffee, having lunch, meeting someone at the water cooler, you do have these opportunities to give gifts. Now, some people really aren't into it for various reasons, and it is understandable, but I do recommend it because you do have your fellow constituents, your co-workers, your peers who, you know, might need a little extra encouragement during the holiday season. You do have some who cannot afford to buy the plane ticket to go home to the East Coast or out of the country, nor can their relatives afford to come over to where they are and meet them halfway. So it's a great way to have a pleasant reminder that someone is thinking of you in a positive way and keeping you in mind. And usually these things aren't very expensive. They typically do have a price cap on them. So there are actually a lot of great sales. I do like to check out some of the major department stores, such as Macy's. Why? Because they have sales in store, but they'll also give you the discounts that you find on the coupons in the store as well. So I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, I was able to purchase a little item in the home shopping section, which was 50% off. And then when I got to the register, the cashier graciously let me know that there was another 20% off coupon that she could give me at the register. And I ended up meeting the requirement, and I did not go over the set amount for the gift exchange. And I was able to get the wrapping paper and all of that good stuff at the 99-cent store. And I really made it personable, and it was just a great opportunity to give thanks and share joy. And the individual really enjoyed it. Why? Because it's something you can take wherever you go. It was a blanket, a little fleece, and it was blue. So, shalom. Yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, take that into account if this year you decided to opt out of the Secret Santa gift exchange. Well, there is always next year. And if you've decided, well, I don't necessarily care for any of my coworkers to really participate, that is a valid reason. But maybe with the new year coming up, you can have a new perspective to extend maybe some of those difficult coworkers a little bit of grace and optimism, and well, do something unexpected. It's always on the table for next year, so it's up to you to decide what you choose to do with it. If not, you can always be the one who brings in coffee and cookies or just eats from their desk, whichever you prefer. But just know, you do have an option and it is on the table. Exploring the concept of new year, new you. Now, the best way to make improvements is the reason why we identify what our goals are by writing them down. So what I recommend is that you create a list before the new year only with you in mind, and you be honest with yourself about problematic people or behaviors that you or those around you have that might have a negative effect on your steps to progress. I like this a lot because here we are at the end of December coming into the new year. January is a brand new perspective for a lot of people. It's the beginning of the year, so it's a brand new opportunity to re-enter into the atmosphere with a whole new outlook. So I do recommend that one of the best ways to make improvements is to first identify your goals. Some goals are universal, of course. You know, we all want health, wealth, we want relationships. And some of those goals might be the same as they were before last year. But you should always be able to identify how you can progressively change to increase the return of what you're looking for in a particular relationship, whether it be finance, whether it be personal or interpersonal relationships as far as how you relate with yourself and or others, if these are career moves. There's a slew of topics that you can cover when it comes to goals. Maybe you want to do something more adventurous and you can set that up. What is your goal? Well, maybe once a week, once a month, every 6 months, once a year, I want to do an activity. That activity could be anything. It could be traveling. It could be trying a new restaurant. So you want to give yourself the freedom and the opportunity to really identify what those goals can be and how they can shape you in the future to have a better, well-rounded experience. And again, not just for yourself, but also to keep in mind how you're able to interact with those around you, if that's something that you're interested in. Some goals are very personal. Maybe you have performance goals that are work-related or performance goals that are health-related, and you're like, those are the only things I want to focus on. Maybe you have a large project, a home project, or a work project. Maybe you want to do more of that or change the type of projects that you do. So those are fine too. But the whole premise is that you identify specifically what those goals are. So a great way to do that is by writing them down. Some people are really great at creating mental notes. They can remember them with no problem. Someone like me, the mental note is great, but when you live life in real time and you have a lot of things going on, like a lot of us do, it helps if you can visualize what these goals are by creating reminders, either by using note cards, creating journals, creating vision boards, so that way they are actively in front of you and they create the tone, they have presence in your day-to-day activities, and you are constantly reminded of where your focus needs to be or to keep it aligned with your current priorities, so that way they don't just become things that you'd like to do that are not realistic because they just were on the wish list. So part of that is being honest with yourself about people and behaviors, things around you in your current atmosphere that might interfere with your progress. Now, that doesn't have to necessarily be a negative thing. It's just really being aware of self and how you interact with the things around you. And I'll give you a perfect example. If I have a goal for 2020 to take a trip to, I don't know, let's say Italy, I need to plan to be financially prepared to take that trip in 2020. What does that mean? Well, it means that I'm going to have to budget. What does that mean? I'm going to have to look into plane tickets. I'm going to have to look into room and board. And in order to really make that goal manifest, well, I have to be dedicated to what it's going to take. Sometimes I won't be able to buy coffee, get that extra latte or two, can't go out on that expensive dinner. Maybe I would be willing to sacrifice a pair of concert tickets or play tickets to put that money aside to purchase a plane ticket or to have spending money while I'm out of the country. Those are things that you have to consider so that way your goals are tangible and they are not only tangible, but they happen. And you get to say, hey, okay, I was capable and I was able to execute whatever my goal was successfully because I engaged in the steps that are leading up to me completing that goal. And I think that is the key to allowing us to really access the power and potential of our abilities by not just saying, hey, I want this, not just by writing it down, not just by speaking it, but also actively working at it each and every day to make sure that we're maintaining a realistic view of what we need to do to make that goal a reality for us and how to enjoy the process along the way. It doesn't have to be a stressful thing. It's just about having an understanding of what we need to do, what we can actively do independently by being aware of our behavioral patterns, being aware of our spending patterns, being aware of our mental fatigue. Like if I know I'm going to be tired, maybe I should do something early on in the day instead of waiting towards the end of the day when it comes to planning and preparing to complete a task and or a goal that I'm going to add to that list just to make sure I don't fall behind, right? Because it's up to us whether we complete these goals or not, and they are independent of anyone else's behaviors. So the concept of new you, new year, well, I think it's always tied to our ability to assess our needs, our wants, our desires, and our goals. So best of luck to you there. There is still time. I know we are still in the middle of December, but being that we still have about maybe 10 days or so until the new year, it's a great opportunity to take some time out, make the list, and start fresh. Very excited for you. I've already made my list, and I think maybe the next show I'll share some of my categories. I won't share some of my goals, but I'll definitely share some of my categories just to give you a few ideas of how you can be inspired for some of your own in the near future. Keep listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I'm your host, Dominique. And again, feel free to follow on Twitter and Instagram at Dominique LaRue. This is a very interesting topic. I'm very excited. I hope you all find it as enjoyable as I have to share it with you. And keep listening. We'll be back. We have an announcement from our sponsor, Flipboard. If you're not aware already, well, I want you to get in tune because actually one of the cool things about Flipboard is it's a free app. You download it on your phone and it brings all of your favorite news stories to you. So anything that you haven't heard of or want to hear about, regardless of the category, it has everything. Music, art, culture, education, technology, and it makes it simple. You're reading articles from your trusted publications, major publications, and it definitely makes, well, it makes keeping up with the news really easy, simple, and enjoyable. You don't have to go from website to website. It's all in one place, and the stories you like are picked by you, so you're never getting anything that you don't find interesting. Check it out. Thank you for tapping into the podcast and listening to the blog Music Art Culture. Remember to subscribe. It's free on Apple Podcasts. Just hit on the search icon and type the blog Music Art Culture. Again, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts and search the blog Music Art Culture for all episodes, new and old. Get caught up. Figure out what's going on. It's really easy to follow. You can catch us on Twitter. Yes, at MACEF Public Arts. And you can follow me also on Twitter and Instagram at Dominique LaRue. Very excited to connect with you all. Like what you've heard? Well, share it with a friend. And definitely, I want you to be safe this holiday season. Try to put some of our talking tips to use. Really looking forward to our next show. Until next time, all. Live, love, laugh, pray. That's important too. Be jolly. Merry Christmas.